These events showcased our city on a national stage and filled our neighborhoods with pride and celebration. So today, I ask you to support our once-in-a-generation effort to rewrite and reform the city's outdated zoning code. The current code and process create a maze of inflexible rules and unpredictable outcomes that can stifle investment. This needs to change. We have the opportunity with Transform Baltimore to make the process more transparent and predictable, promoting growth while preserving our neighborhood's character. Changing the code will enable us to create transit-oriented development, including those along the proposed red line. And it will make it easier to adapt old warehouses into artist studios, turn vacant lots into urban farms, and promote bioscience manufacturing. I understand that the details of this change can be challenging, but we should stay focused on the ultimate goal of approving a modern zoning code for Baltimore's future, because we must change to grow. Public education is a cornerstone of a growing city. Families have a fundamental right to access a good education in quality school buildings, and providing more opportunities for families to send their children to good public schools will help Baltimore grow again. We also know that public education helps break down economic and racial barriers and the ugly cycle of poverty. And the poverty of a government on its own is no excuse for failing schools, mismanagement, or bloated bureaucracy. It was these principles that my father fought for in the 1990s. With new state resources came new accountability to improve our student outcomes. The landmark 1997 city-state partnership has made a difference in student achievement. Thank you. Under the leadership of Dr. Andreas Alonzo, student test scores have improved dramatically. North Avenue has shrunk and it's better managed. School enrollment has increased steadily year after year, and the number of dropouts have been cut in half. Dozens of new charter and transformational schools have come online, and public school choice is available for most middle and high school students. Thank you, Dr. Alonzo, for your unwavering commitment to Baltimore's young people. But the fight for better schools is far from over. While teachers and students are making progress, our buildings and our classrooms are inadequate and ill-equipped for the 21st century. In too many cases, conditions are downright deplorable and simply unjust. The state school system as a whole has achieved a half decade of national praise and recognition, but you'd be hard-pressed to say the Maryland system of public education is equitable among the state's local jurisdictions. There must be a stronger statewide recognition of the enormous capital needs of our local school districts with the oldest buildings. Our state constitution is clear. The General Assembly shall establish throughout the state a thorough an efficient system of free public schools and shall provide for their maintenance. The framers of our state constitution did not intend for a child's zip code or the wealth of the local tax base to be the determining factors of whether or not they attend a school in good repair. But that's the system we inherited. Baltimore City is one of the poorest jurisdictions in the state and has the highest tax effort. A staggering 84% of our students come from low-income families, and we have the oldest, most dilapidated school buildings. We understand that Baltimore must do more locally, and our strategy is not simply to beg the state for a blank check with no strings attached. My father, Delegate Pete Rawlings, taught me that that approach is just as wrong. We have a responsibility to take our own local action and put forth viable solutions. In 2012, with the support of education advocates and against the demands of powerful special interests, this city council approved a historic increase in new funding for school renovation. Make no mistake, it is the largest local source of school renovation funding ever approved in Baltimore's modern history. No one can point a finger in this chamber and say that Baltimore didn't put more skin in the game. At the same time, our school system partners have put forth a tough 220-page comprehensive plan to right-size and to modernize school buildings. Here's a summary of our local action. This administration and the city council have made tough choices, increasing taxes to provide dedicated funding for school renovation. The local school board has also made tough choices, approving a plan to relocate or close 29 schools and programs. At the same time, the local school system itself has improved student outcomes, reduced bureaucracy, and put forth a thoughtful plan to finance a major school reform effort. Now it's time for the General Assembly to join us with a renewed landmark city-state partnership with resources, flexibility, and shared accountability to rebuild our schools. Conditions have reached a crisis point, and a big solution is required. 85,000 of Maryland's children are depending on it. I'm open to any compromise or any alternative that does not compromise a child's right to attend a quality school in good repair. But keeping the status quo will only serve to fail our students, and that is unacceptable. We must find a new way to meet our shared objectives of improving public school buildings for every child, no matter where they live in Maryland. At the same time we seek a renewed partnership with state government, Baltimore must implement major fiscal reforms. For over 50 years, Baltimore's story has been dominated by a narrative of post-industrial decline. From 1950 to 2000, the city lost a third of its population. Jobs disappeared, crime rates rose, schools deteriorated, and many neighborhoods destabilized. City government itself was left with a legacy of high taxes, growing liabilities, and crumbling infrastructure. But over the last several years, a new urban story is beginning to emerge. Population loss is slowing to a near halt, and many neighborhoods are experiencing a new growth. Baltimore is safer. Public education is improving with growing enrollment. More vacants are being rehabbed, and our businesses and institutions have made new investment. Since 2010, this administration and the city council have worked together to close $300 million in budget deficits. We averted an immediate pension crisis, eliminated duplicative programs, and began to cut the property tax burden, all while keeping our core services funded, including public safety and public education. As a result of these tough actions, Baltimore held its own and maintained its bond rating during the worst recession since the Great Depression, and the quality of life for city residents has generally improved. Today, we've outlined the progress made over the past 3 years, but much, much more work remains to be done to get Baltimore growing again. The question for this generation of city leadership is this: will Baltimore cement a true turnaround toward future of growth, or will we allow our hard-fought victories to become just a momentary pause, a footnote in the continuing story of decline?